And it's something that I have discovered over the years is the importance to have the right mind as well as the right actions, particularly when it comes to serving the Lord. Because we can serve the Lord and we can have the actions of servants, but quite often we don't have the mind or the attitude of a servant as well. And when we find ourselves like that, we can find that things don't go the way that they really should. And it can actually end up being disastrous for us. And in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, the very familiar verses, there are two key words here. And verse 1 reflects upon the action, and then in verse 2, it reflects upon the mind. And so Romans chapter 12, let me read verse 1 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And so in verse 1, we have the actions that are required. We're to be servants. We're to say, Lord, here's my body. You can use it as you wish. I want to serve you as a servant. And that's a blessing when someone gets to that point. And it's a blessing that there are so many in this local church who have said that, I want to be used by the Lord. I want my body to be used of the Lord here in this local church. But in verse 2, we have the other key word. It says, be not conformed to this world. And I looked at that last time, 2 weeks ago. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we have that other thought, idea that there needs to be a transformation of our mind as well, where we have the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, we have a servant's attitude as well. And so our minds need to be changed to be like a servant, so that our actions also reflect our attitude. And if we only act like a servant, but we don't think like a servant, then a lot of problems are going to come in our life. We're going to become very bitter, we're going to become disheartened, and we're going to get frustrated by the way that we get treated by others. And I'm sure if you've been around long enough, you will know of people who have served the Lord in a local church, in one form of ministry of some sort, for maybe years, could be even decades. And from the outside, looking at them, you think, what a wonderful servant. Look at how they're making all those sacrifices for the Lord. But then, at some stage, they quit what they're doing. Not only do they stop doing those things, but then you discover that they have a bitterness about what they've had to go through, and an anger with God and an anger with others as well. And you see that their actions were very different to their mind. And that's because while they were serving with their actions, they didn't have the mind of a servant as well. It causes a lot of problems. And our attitude could account more than often our achievements. Where if we're doing something and we're proud about it, or we're angry while doing it, or we're bitter about doing these things, well, then it's going to be very devastating for us. And the question, I guess, must be asked is, how do you know if you have the mind of a servant? Because you can often think you're a servant, but how do you know if you truly are? Well, it's very easy to answer that, and that is, you know if you have the mind of a servant by how you respond when you get treated like a servant. That's how you know. You see, servants generally are bossed around, aren't they? A servant, in the true sense, are taken for granted. A servant is considered inferior. A servant isn't praised. A servant isn't thanked. And so, when you're being a servant for the Lord and serving others, when you don't get thanked, when you're not praised, when you're taken for granted and you're treated like a servant, your reaction will show if you truly do have the mind of a servant. Because I can say, look, I'm a pastor here. I'm meant to be the servant of the servants here. But then if I'm taken for granted and not thanked, and I go home and say, no one even thanks me for anything I do, you know, they just take me for granted, all right? Well, then it shows that I may be saying I'm a servant, but I actually don't want to be treated like a servant. I think I'm actually deserve to be more. I actually think I should be the master. And when it comes to whatever the Lord calls you to do, be it from a father to a mother, and I know mums, you will feel like that. I'm taken for granted. I feel like the servant, or I'm the slave. Well, are you a servant for the Lord, or are you not? And you know, when you respond in a way after being treated like a servant, you'll know if you truly have that mind or not. And so that's how you can tell if you truly have the mind of a servant, by your reaction when you get treated like one. And there are a couple of attitudes that we need to have if we want to be true servants of the Lord. And I want to consider them. We'll see. I won't tell you how many points I got, so I can stop whenever I think I've gone long enough. And so, first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. When I was on camp, I think it was Tuesday morning, I preached for about 40 minutes. I thought, oh, well, that was nice. And I walked down the back and this young bloke said to me, he called me over and he said, that is the longest message I've ever heard in my life. Oh, okay, I'm glad you liked it. So I went for an hour, the next one, just to make sure he knew what long was. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, we often look at the last part. We need to be faithful. But we often miss the first part, that God refers to us as stewards. Now, a steward in the Bible was really a servant who was entrusted to manage the master's estate. So we would call it a manager today. And so you have the master, he has the land and the property, and then out of his servants, a servant that he trusts, he says, you can look after my estate, you are my steward. Joseph was Potiphar's steward in that sense. And so it's just a servant given a very important responsibility. And so that's how the Lord refers to us. We are stewards. And so, when we consider ourselves, we should consider God as our master, and He has given us stewardship over those things which belong to Him. And He says, I want you to manage these on my behalf. And so that's the way that we should consider ourselves in the sight of God, stewards. And the fact is, the Lord has given us many things to be stewards over. Things that we often think are ours. Yet God says, no, they are mine. I have just given you the responsibility of managing it. And you know, you could go through a long list of things. But you know, the key ones would be, first of all, what is most precious to us, and that is our body. You know, the people that will say abortion is fine, you know, well, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. The fact is, everyone's body is owned by God Himself. He created us. But particularly believers, our body is not our own. We're told in 1 Corinthians 6, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? All right? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so it's made very clear that our body, this stuff, all right, is not ours. It is God's. And He is the master of it. And so He is the one who has said, okay, I will give you that body and I'll give you your soul and I want you to manage it according to the way I want as your master. But how often do we think that this is my body, I can do with it as I want? And we don't act like the steward, we act like the master when it comes to our body. You know, what about our money? We often think that the 10% we give is the Lord's and the rest is ours. Now, a slave, a servant, actually doesn't have any possessions. They are really ultimately the possessions of their master. And so all our money is the Lord's, and He wants us to be stewards and good, faithful stewards of our money as well. When it comes to all our possessions, you know, it's sad when you have people that won't even show simple hospitality because, you know, people might wreck their carpet or wreck, dirty their walls or whatever it may be. You know, they're worried about their possessions, or they won't lend anything to anyone because, ooh, they might not use it the way that I want, as though that even their possessions are theirs. And so they look at their possessions and say, that's mine, God, and you have other things. And so they lose sight of what they are, stewards. You know, I used to love Mr. Kaufman. If there's anyone that is like him, it's Mr. Phillips, which I really appreciate. But you can borrow anything off him, all right? Because it's like it's the Lord's. You know, you can even his car. You know, would we be able to use your car? Yeah, it's the Lord's, brother. You can take it. You know, like he's just. Everything is the Lord's, you know. You wreck it, you reckon the Lord's stuff. You know, then you really got to look after it, all right? And so there's this concept that everything He has is the Lord's. Even our children are really the Lord's. We are stewards of those children God has put in our care. Our time is the Lord's. Our talents, our gifts is the Lord. This church is the Lord. Don't let anyone say it's Alan Mitchell's church, because it's not. All right, it's not the members' church. It's not the foundation members' church. It is God's church. And we are stewards of that, all of us. And we are accountable to that. And so the question must be asked is, have you been handling the resources that God has given you and has entrusted you as a steward rather than a master? Because the fact is, each one of us is going to have to give an account of that. We have to give an account of how we looked after our body and how we used it and how we used His money and how we used His possessions and His time and His gifts and talents and so on. We have to give an account. But the first problem is, so often, the reason why we don't live the way we should and what God wants is because we think we are the master of these things rather than the steward. For example, do you use the things to glorify God's purposes or for your own pleasure? Do you have the attitude that these are the Lord's? You know, there's a good way of discovering if you do or not. You know, when the master takes something of his away from you, are you happy or are you upset? Because you actually thought it was yours. You know, I might lend my phone to one of the kids to play a game on it, you know, and they're loving it, you know, and it gets to the point where they're just so familiar with it. And I say, okay, I'd like that back now. Nah, they don't want to give it back. They think it's theirs now. They don't like the idea that they have to give it back. What about when the Lord has given you a blessing and now He says, look, I'd want that back now. Do you act like you're the owner of it, or you happily give it back to the one who does own it? You know, if you had a farm and you put a manager to run that farm who is the steward, so to speak, you know, there are certain privileges you have that that manager doesn't have, doesn't it? And you know when that manager has lost sight of who actually owns the farm or not by their attitude. For example, you can sell the farm whenever you want as the owner. But just say you went up and said to the manager, look, I'm going to sell up and sell everything. And so he turns around and says, you can't do that. I've put so much work into this. This is my place. And they get upset that you want to sell your farm. You realize that their mind has changed. Because they've invested so much of their life in it, they start to think it's theirs rather than the owner's. What happens when the Lord once says, look, it's time for you to stop something and I'm just going to close this down, or I'm going to stop this, or I'm going to move this over here, I'm changing my mind. Are you able to accept that as of the Lord? Because it's His. What about if you are the manager of that farm, you want to get another manager? And you go to that man and says, look, I thank you for all you've done, but I think now I want to get this other guy that has other abilities and I want him to start managing the farm. You know, if the manager understood that he wasn't the owner of this farm, he was simply the steward, he would accept that. Okay, it's yours. You get to choose. But how often do we find that difficult? Maybe we've been serving the Lord in an area and we begin to think this is our little spot. This is what our church, my ministry, whatever it may be. And the Lord says, no, I actually want this person to take over this ministry now. Are you willing to acknowledge that you're not the master, but you're simply the steward of it? And the master knows what he wants and he can do as he pleases. You know, there's a lot of attitudes. You know, also, as the owner of a farm, even if it's a silly idea, you get to do things your way. You know, you can go to the manager and say, look, I want you to plant this crop this year. And he might say, that's really bad, it's not going to work, you know. But he doesn't get a choice. He just plants what you want. And you might say, I want you to sell this machinery. But I like this machinery, you know. It's my favourite. That's all right, but I want you to sell it. And that's the choices you get as the owner, where the steward really doesn't get that idea. It's only when they lose sight of who they are and what they are that they start to argue. And, you know, when it comes to our life, when the Lord says, I want you to do this in your life, if you argue with that and say, no, I don't like that way, I don't want to go that path, then you know you don't have the mind of a servant. Where you say, Lord, I'm yours, you own me, I will go and be and do whatever you want. And so, you can easily find out if you have the mind of a steward by how you react when the Lord acts as the master. What did I say at the beginning? How do you know if you have the mind of a servant? By how you respond when you get treated like one. Not just by other people, but by God Himself, the master. And so we need to consider ourselves as stewards and then be faithful. Sometimes we get it in the reverse order. We just concentrate on the faithful, forget about the stewardship. But the second thing we learn about being a servant and having the right mind is found over in Luke chapter 10, if you turn there. And this is something that I believe is a big problem in local churches and amongst individuals. Now, I'm not denying the fact that as a part of a steward, sometimes you get given responsibility to care for other people and organise other people. I'm not saying that's not found in a local church and in the work of the Lord. But that's a very big difference between when a servant starts to take on the responsibility of a master, all right, start to think about or compare themselves to other servants and mind themselves with the business of other servants. Let me read the passage first and then you'll understand what I'm saying. Luke chapter 10, verses 38. Did I say John? No? Said Luke? That's good because I turned up to Luke. I turned up to John, I should say. Stay there, go to Luke. I'm getting there myself. Luke 10. Have a look at this. We know it's a very familiar story. Have a look at her actions as opposed to her attitude. All right. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, Martha had the actions of a servant. She was serving the Lord literally at that time, and his disciples, busy making sure that everything was done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But while she was very busy serving the Lord, what was going on in her mind? All right? And we discover that what was going on in her mind was very different to what was going on with her actions. With her actions, they were sitting there and you could be thinking, look at that Martha, she is such a busy lady. She's such a servant. Look at her. What a beautiful example of servanthood. But while she's there, being this beautiful picture of servanthood, within her heart, she's getting angry with her sister. She's not happy. She's looking at her sister and comparing herself, and she's not happy at all. She's got a very bad attitude. And so she had the right actions, but she had the wrong motives or attitude. And when Martha compared herself with Mary, she began to complain. And so she either lost that servant's heart, or she never had it at the beginning. But her actions didn't match up with her mind. And this had a huge effect on her. And we see that various things happened. And I want you to consider this as I point them out and see if you see this in your life as you're serving the Lord in the various areas where you believe the Lord wants you to be serving. When you're serving, do you find yourself looking at other servants and having these wrong attitudes toward them? Right? For example, we see that Martha got angry with Mary. She's busy doing all these things and Mary's just sitting there doing nothing, apart from listening. And what was her response? Anger. She was angry with her sister. Why can't she be doing what I'm doing? All right, so there's anger, which will happen when we stop thinking like a servant and start comparing ourselves to others. We see what others are doing and we start to get angry. And if you start to get angry with others here because you think you're doing more than them, all right, that shows that you are not thinking like a servant anymore. You're starting to think like the master. You haven't got the right mind. Also see that she got jealous of Mary. She thought, how come she gets to sit and listen and have that nice calling and I'm the one that gets stuck in the kitchen running around and having to do that? And so there was a jealousy there as well. And this will happen to us. We might look at what we have to do, and then we look at what others are getting to do, and we start to get jealous of them. That's what happens when we don't have the mind of a servant anymore. We start to compare and get jealous. And you know, I know I feel awkward when you get a missionary, say like the Crows or like the Mackays when they come, and you know they get stuck in a village and they hardly have anything and it's hard, or I think of the Kaufmans and they're getting sick all the time, and then they come and visit me, all right, and I'm serving the Lord and they look at all that I've got and I see what they've got and I think I'm embarrassed, but if they don't come and visit me or any of us with a servant's heart, with the right mind, they will get jealous. And I could imagine if you have the wrong mind, you'd be sitting there thinking, Lord, well, how come I get stuck with all the diseases and death and I have to get stuck in that little hut and they get to serve you here with all this? And there could be that jealousy. And that's when you start to no longer have that mind of a servant. And that's what was happening to Martha as well. As well as that, soon as she started to get jealous, she started to be discontent with her job. Maybe at first, she was thrilled. I get to serve the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Heaven. Now, ladies, I know that you might have the privilege of, you know, cooking a meal and having a special guest, but imagine if you got to have the Lord Jesus come as your guest, you know. I know you would be really nervous, and you'd want everything perfect, and what an honor, all right? She was doing that, and she might have had that thought, the honor of having the Lord Jesus. I'm sure you wouldn't go and get fish and chips, right, that day, all right? Or we'll just grab a pizza, and I'm sure you'd be doing everything perfect, all right? But that could have been a privilege to her, and thought, look, this is such a special thing. But as she started to compare herself to her sister, and she lost that mind of a servant, then she started to get discontented with what she was doing. Oh, my job's not that good after all. You know, I would much prefer to be sitting at his feet listening to his words. And so there's that jealousy, and also then comes discontentment. And you know, I know when I was younger, when I hoped the Lord would call me to be a pastor, I couldn't think of anything more exciting and wonderful. And when he called me to be a pastor and I became a pastor, I just thanked the Lord that he had called me to that. That was just a wonderful privilege and an honour. But you know, when you're losing the mind of a servant, when you start to think, why do I have to be the pastor? Why do I have to have, you know, and you start to be discontent with what was such an exciting thing at one stage. And if you were excited about being a one-way leader once, or a youth group leader, or a Sunday school teacher, or whatever it may have been where you get to serve the Lord here, but now you're discontent with what you're doing, you can tell that there's the mind of a servant starting to disappear. Mums, when you got that first little baby, what a privilege and honour to look after this special child. But can you still say, I still have that honour of being a servant for the Lord in this capacity? Or why can't I be like someone else doing this or that? And you're discontented with your job and calling. And so that's what can happen. And what happens when we get angry, when we start to compare with others, we get jealous, we get discontent, eventually this wonderful picture of a servant, it all comes tumbling down, and people really get to see what's going on the inside, and that's when what's on the inside gets seen, and then you start to attack. And that's exactly what Martha did. I don't know how many times she went in and out of that kitchen and slowly got angrier and angrier and more jealous and more jealous and more discontent. I don't know if her face was getting angry and more sour, but it finally got to the point where she went up to the Lord Jesus and said, "Will you just tell her to start doing something? Should it just be me doing all this?" And it all came out. And so we saw what was on the inside, and we discovered for Martha it wasn't a nice servant's heart. And that's what happens to us often. We look like a wonderful servant for so long, but then kaboomba. All right? People discover we've been angry for a while. All right? Or we've been jealous and bitter and frustrated, and it's not been a servant's heart at all. And people see it. And then we start to make a mess of things. Yeah, I like to put it like this. You know, your mum and dad are going out for the day. So give all the children a responsibility. I want you to clean up the lounge rooms, and I want you to do the kitchen, and I want you to clean up all the bedrooms, and depending on how many you got for the Nicholases, you know, it could be a lot of jobs, all right? You might run out of jobs, but you give everyone a job. And so you go out, and then you got I've got to make sure I don't mention a name, little Peter, all right? Little Peter has got his job. And his job is to clean up the lounge room. And he starts doing that, but as he's cleaning up the lounge room, he's noticing someone with the kitchen and thinking, well, they're goofing around, they're not doing anything. And then that one over there, cleaning the bedrooms, they're doing a real bad job. They're just shoving things under the blankets. They're not actually cleaning it. They're just shoving it. And then all of a sudden, little Peter, he's more concerned about everyone else's job. And they go in and say, you shouldn't be doing that with all the clothes. You shouldn't be pushing it all under there. That's not wrong. And then he goes over and rouses, you shouldn't be mucking around. You should be doing what mum and dad does. And then really, within an hour, they become the parent, all right? They're the one rousing on everyone else and telling them what they should be doing, all right? They forget about their responsibility, and that's all their mum and dad want to do. They're more interested in everybody else's responsibility. Mum and dad come home, and even what happens is little Peter's job's not even done because he's been very busy making sure everyone else's job is done, all right? Now, what's happened? He's changed the mind from a child to a parent, all right? And who are they happy with, or who are they not happy with the most? little Peter. He hadn't done his job, and he's been causing turmoil because everyone's arguing. Yes, you shouldn't be telling me what to do. It's not your place to do that. I can't tell you what to do. I wonder if that's ever happened in your home. Right? Well, I'm sure it has. Unless you only got one child. And they boss themselves around. But the thing is, it happens in a local church. The Lord says, I would like you to serve me there. I would like you to do this here. I'd like you to take on that responsibility. And we all have various gifts and responsibilities. And here I am, I have this job over here, and I'm looking at such and such. They don't know how to do that very well. I really think they should be doing it much better. I know a much better way than doing it that way. And then they tell everyone, and then they go out and go and tell them. And then they go over there and say, look, let me help you with your job, because obviously you can't do it very well. All right? And they start worrying about everybody else apart from themselves. And then they're not even doing their responsibility well. And they get jealous, they get frustrated and angry and so on. And they stop thinking like a servant. But a servant's heart, you know, the Lord says in Romans, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, like mum and dad will come home eventually and sort things out. Our Lord and Heavenly Father will call us home and He will sort things out. And He wants us to have the mind of a servant, not a master. And if we can do that, we will dwell with one another in unity, and it will be a blessing. And we won't get discouraged and frustrated. And we will be those servants we should. And that's as far as we will go today. And we'll leave it at that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you had that mind of a servant. And you have given us that example. You came to do the will of your Father and you did it perfectly. Not the will of others. And Lord, you started that ministry that your Father had called you to do, and you did it perfectly to the very end and finished it well too. And I pray that, Lord, you'll help us to do the same in those areas where you have called us to serve and do it faithfully. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.